Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
You know, the state fair is going on. I went out the other night and I was thinking that it's hot, you know. And I was going to do this morning, but I just didn't have it in me, so you're going to have to use your imagination with me, okay? I was actually going to come up here dressed in winter clothes, but after a sunburn, I just could not bring myself to do that. This morning, I'm looking at the closet, like, I'm not putting a winter hat on, I'm not putting my winter coat on, I'm not putting gloves and a scarf on, but I want you to see me that way, right? Because today, we're talking about seasons, and it would be unusual, it would be out of the ordinary, in fact, it would be foolish, not to be dressed for the season that you're in. And so what I want to do over the next few minutes is talk about spiritual seasons that God takes us through. And because if you're not dressed for the appropriate season, you can still do what it is that you want to do, still get it done, but it's not as fun. It's a little more arduous. You may perspire a little bit more than you need to, right? Because you're just not prepared. You're not mentally aware of the season. If you get on a plane and fly to the southern hemisphere, it would be winter there right now, right? In Australia, Aussies, where's my New Zealanders? Down south, right? It's winter right now. So is this thing loose again, Aaron? Was that me? I'm going to push this in. Does that help? All right, if it pops again, I'll probably change. We'll see. Okay, so we have different seasons. We have summer, obviously, fall, winter, and so forth. We're in baseball season. That's a football season just started. The human body has seasons, right? I experienced the byproduct of a ladder season in my life yesterday out on the river. But we have seasons. You know, you have baby teeth. What's with baby teeth, by the way? Why don't you get like your normal teeth right away? But you have baby teeth. Then you lose your baby teeth, you know, and then get older and use your teeth again. Who said that? Relationships have seasons, you know. You don't know somebody and they're an acquaintance and they're a friendship. Then you begin to love them or however that friendship proceeds. And I want to take you to a scripture this morning. So if you have your Bibles, get them out or your electronic device. By the way, go ahead and share today's Facebook live stream, if you would, with your friends, if you have that up and running on your mobile device. But turn to Psalm 1. I think we have that, don't we, Rose? Yes. Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Some of you know this, of course. It goes like this. Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What is he like? Well, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which does what? Which yields its fruit in, everybody say, season. You're like a person who yields fruit in a season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he or she does prospers. Now, here's the theological truth for you today. This is what you should write down. God never changes his purposes in your life or for the church. What he does, however, is move through different seasons to see that accomplished. You understand what I'm saying? You think God has changed his mind when all of a sudden you're just in a different season. It's a different period of time in your process in the way that God has told you to move and directed you. You may say, wait a second, I thought God told me I was going to be doing this and now it seems like I'm not even doing that anymore. Maybe it's the winter season where that goal or that thing is concerned. And we'll get into that in just a minute. So, just to substantiate a little bit more how God moves in seasons, of course, you may be familiar with the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. Let me remind you that there is a time or season for everything under heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die. Those are seasons, a time to plant, a time to uproot. We're not just talking about physically planting and uprooting. We're talking about how this applies to us as well. Verse 3, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build. Time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time to peace. Verse down, skip down to number 11. He has made everything beautiful in its season. It's beautiful for where it's supposed to be at right now. And the example I like to use in my life when people are going through seasons oftentimes is that, you know, when you bake a cake, you mix up all the ingredients. It's sitting there on the counter. It's a cake, kinda. It's not done. But what do you say about where it's at right now? Well, that's perfect. It's been mixed perfectly. It's perfect for the stage or the season it's supposed to be in right now. So the cook can mix it all up, stand back and go, that's perfect. God says, that's perfect. As the bystander, we go, that's not perfect. That's not a cake. But the master, the creator says, that's perfect. Are you following me? As we pour it into the pan, as we put it in the oven, we look in the oven, it's not done. But the baker, the master goes, that's perfect for the season that that cake is supposed to be in. Are you tracking okay with me? Say amen. Good, good. So the Bible says everything has a season. Remember the ark, when Noah built the ark? That was awesome. Never rained. Then it rained. That's something brand new. The ark was open, and Noah invited people in. His family came in, but there was a time, you read the story, you go back, and the door of the ark closed. The season of being able to get on the ark closed. And, of course, the parallel for us is God works in seasons. We're in a season of grace. We're in a dispensation of mercy. Salvation is at hand right now. But there's coming a time on that day when the trumpet of God blows and the dead in Christ last first and the raised first and you have no more opportunity. Amen. The day of grace, the day of salvation is going to come to a close. Amen. This season that we're in, as long as you may think that it is, and it is a lengthy season, will eventually come to a close. So God works everything in seasons. All those seasons that I read in Ecclesiastes, I boiled them down to five general spiritual seasons in your life. So it'd be good to know these. It would be good to know these because I'm going to ask in just a little bit for you to begin to evaluate your life and say, I wonder what season I'm in right now where this is concerned. Okay? First of all, there's the season of sowing and planting. That's the season of investing into the future. The second season, do we have these? I think we have these. Yes, perfect. The second season is the season of reaping and harvest. Okay, so you could be in that season. That's a time of obviously great joy because you're collecting, you're gathering, you're reaping, and you're harvesting. The third season is that of testing and trials. We don't necessarily like that one. I don't think I need to expound on it right now. There's a season of rest and patience. And lastly, the season of fruitfulness and accomplishments. This is what I'm going to consider over and above normal reaping, right? So I've made a differentiation between just normal sowing and the season of fruitfulness, all right? All right, but here's the problem. Not everyone can easily discern what season they're personally in right now. Can you recall who were the most well-read, most religious people of Jesus' day? Say Pharisees and Sadducees. Man, you are so smart. That's amazing. See, you can be super spiritual, memorize the Bible, know it in and out, and still not know what season you're in. So this has nothing to do with your Bible knowledge. It has to do with something else. First of all, Jesus is going to rebuke them here in Matthew 16, so you get the flavor of this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees in Mark 16:1 came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say there will be fair weather for the red sky. Sky is red. And in the morning, verse 3, today it will be stormy for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearances of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the seasons, the signs of the times." This is why, if you were here for the fivefold conference at all, we learned today about more about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. more about those particular offices, but also that we have those anointings in all of us. All of those five anointings are resident in each of us. Not necessarily to sit in that office, but those gifts are placed in us because of what Christ did on the cross. So this is one of the main reasons why the prophetic anointing is so valuable. Three key benefits of the prophetic anointing is that it allows you to know a sense of divine timing and a purpose and the seasons of your life. If you're in tune with the Spirit, no matter how much Bible you know, like a Pharisee or Sadducee, you say, God, I want to know your mind. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has revealed. But the Spirit will reveal it to man. Amen. Right? So we're spirit beings having an earthly experience. Right? We're not earthly beings having a spiritual. We are spirits. We will live on after this flesh dies and corrodes and goes back to dust. I'm still alive. I just happen to be wearing an earth suit right now. Okay? You follow? This is why we must be in tune into the spirit realm, the things that you cannot see. This is having a prophetic anointing on your life. Say, God, I need to see into the future. I need to know what you're doing in my life. If you don't ask, you may not know. It's like getting on a plane, going to the southern hemisphere, waking up wearing your winter clothes, and it's summer there. You're still going to walk around. You may be hot wearing a hoodie today, but you're still going to come to church, and you're still going to be here. So, what God looks for are people who are in tune with the orchestra of heaven. I said in tune with the orchestra of heaven. We have this misunderstanding that it's all about unison. Any musicians in the house? You know, aren't we blessed to have such a great worship team? Meredith did such a great job today. It's just wonderful to come and express your love to the Lord that way. But unison is when it's the same note. But I always talk about being in harmony, which is you play a note and I play a note. They're different notes, but together they make something beautiful. See, we need to be in harmony with the orchestra of heaven, not necessarily in unison. This is why the prophetic gift is so important and we partner with him. Because when you partner with God in your current season, it makes things a lot easier. Your prayers, your actions, they come in agreement with the season. And that way you're not pulling against him I was just on the river for 4 hours yesterday. You try to paddle upstream, you might, but you're not going to go nearly as fast as if you go with the flow. God says, this is what I want. I know, but I thought you said that. Lord has not changed his mind. He just put you in a different season. We have the mentality from math class and geometry that the fastest way to another point is what? Yeah, that is not God. Do you know that God doesn't work like that? Right? Right? Children of Israel had to walk around the walls of Jericho how many times? Say seven. Seven times. Wouldn't it be faster, Joshua, just to go through the front gate? No. The Lord says, we got to circle this baby seven times. That's not a straight line. It was a season. Okay, you're following. Good. I feel it. I feel the positive energy coming back at me, like you're with me, right? Can none of you want to wear a winter coat to the state fair? Say amen. Okay, good. So God desperately wants us on the cutting edge of what he's doing in the world today. And that's why he wants you to be able to discern the season and the purpose of your life and for his will for you. And it requires an understanding of the seasons that you're in. So here's a little application. Here we go. First of all, before I make application to you personally, which we will do here in just a minute, I want to talk about the church at large and destiny as well. So let's start there. Here's the good news. I believe the Lord's up to a lot of things. All right, here's four that I see on my spiritual radar for the church at large. And because I discern these things for the church at large, this is a direction that the leadership of this church moves us in as well. Because as God moves differently, his purpose hasn't changed, his will hasn't changed, but the seasons that the church goes through, meaning his body and this local fellowship, we got to be in step with that or we're kicking against the goad. You know that Bible phrase? Kicking against the goad. The old guy that used to walk behind the ox in the field as they were tilling, he had a long 10, 12-foot stick. And there's a point on the end of it that was called a goad. And this is why someone would say, oh, don't goad me. Don't poke me. So the farmer had this long stick, and when the ox decided they weren't going to walk anymore, he just boop, 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 winked him in the butt. It's called an ox goad. We don't want God to have to goad us. Amen? We want to go with the flow. We want to be in tune with the Spirit. So here's what I sense at large, the church at large, and again, one of the reasons we do what we do around here. First of all, I think God is beginning to reorchestrate small groups within the church, small fellowship groups within the church. Also, that the church be more engaged with its community, that God and we recognize that at your workplace, there is ministry that happens there every day. You're not asking someone to raise their hand for salvation, but you are ministering all day long. And a re-insurgence of the centrality of Jesus to our message. So quickly, on the fellowship front, I see small clusters, 2, 3, 4 people gathering informally in all sorts of places, whether it's the golf course. We have a connect group that meets at a golf course. Yeah. And we meet in people's homes. They meet in restaurants. They meet all across the city, gathering together informally, periodically. Why? For fellowship, to connect. This is why we have connect groups. Because I'll tell you what, if you think church is just coming together on Sunday morning and then a time of persecution and trial comes, so let's say for example, that the church loses its tax-exempt status. Not too far of a stretch of imagination for us. That half the churches in the city would not be able to pay their tax bills because their budgets are so close anyway, right? Or a host of other reasons. There's some persecution that comes to the church. We can't meet or we don't meet. If you don't have some sort of network of gatherings, you're just not going to make it. All right? Number 2, there's a growing interest in helping the local community. I see this across the board in churches. We see Pastor John gathering people together to go out and paint people's homes and clean up neighborhoods and so forth. What about us? Well, locally on a church, as a church level, with our guest speaker last week, Neil Cole, because he's a very grassroots church planting guy. This is an environment he's not always in. And so he kind of queried me on some, asked me about what we were doing as it relates to how do we minister to the community at large. Well, of course, we have a television program, which you all support financially, of course. That's one thing, but not so much. Then I talked about what we did for our one-year anniversary. Remember? We didn't have a party for ourselves. We gave everybody $50 to go out and just bless the city. Amen. Right? So these are things that God is beginning to do. That the church, let me tell you this. This is to my heart. If the church were to just disappear from Springfield, the city should know it. The city should know that. But unfortunately, there's a lot of individual fellowships, and I think the church at large in some regard, that if it were to disappear, the city would just go on like nothing ever really happened. We want to be missed if we aren't here. And I think you're doing a good job of that, so praise the Lord. Thirdly, a discovery of workplace ministry. This is one of the reasons that we have Fivefold International and how we validate people. People go, I want to be in ministry. Listen, you love Jesus, you're in the ministry. That is not a popular message from people who earn their salaries by keeping you in a pew and them in the pulpit. See, that's not a popular message. Because most people in power want to keep power. They want to have more power, right? That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. As soon as you get power and authority, you need to give that stuff away. This is why you need to give it to your kids. You need to give it to everybody. Listen, you're a priest. You're the priesthood. You're a minister. It's not somebody that wears a clerical collar and preaches for half an hour on a Sunday morning. You're in ministry wherever you go because you're a representative. You're representing. You're a representative of heaven. You should be a stranger and an alien here. You don't fit in here, but we have to be in the world, not of it. And so we go about our daily business. I'll just say this. Yesterday, pretty sure they were Muslim, but they were from Algeria and spoke Arabic, so that was a pretty good clue. They were kind of wandering around the barns where we were getting the, and we said, come on, man, just come with us. And so we had these two guys with us for the whole flow trip, and we were so nice they wanted to stay with us the whole time. Nobody like, hey, listen, man, you roll over and you die in this canoe. Are you going to go to heaven? You love Jesus right now? No, we just showed them We just showed them what an abundant life looked like. We were laughing and joking and having fun. Of course, my wife invites them to church, and she turns the prophet in the front seat kind of turned the screws on. What? I know.
If they came to church, I'd love to buy
them
lunch.
She even offered to buy them lunch if they would come to church. And we were kind of busy. So, but you know, this is how it is that we make an impact. We were ministering on the river yesterday, doing our thing, but just this is the validation that wasn't there and isn't there, unfortunately, in some places, but that's number three. Number four, finally, I sense a hunger in God's people to restore the centrality, even the supremacy of Jesus, the Christ, in our meetings. And to me, that's one of the reasons I see the day of denominations continuing to dwindle. Because this is not about promoting a denomination. Because when you're in a denomination, I speak from experience, there is a, if I've worked for Ford, I'm not telling you to buy Chryslers. That's just the way it is, right? Job security, right? So I see that beginning to dwindle, and I see it across the nation as well. Is that all you see, Eric? Well, there's a few other things. Well, don't you see revival on the horizon? Yes, I do see revival, 100%, I do. That's what we pray for. But remember, God controls the season. Now, if I just do these two things, God's going to always be careful of that. When somebody starts giving you the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s, the 7 ways to, the 4 ways to, the 5 ways, to get God, to get God to do what? You're going to make God do what? What part of sovereignty don't you understand? He does what he wants, when he wants, anywhere he wants. But he does work in seasons. God does the same with revival. Most revivals, most awakenings, they last maybe 5 years or so. And I see the church in America right now across the board, not this fellowship, but across the board. The church is in a time of two of testing. The church is in a time of testing right now. Well, I thought there was somebody in the White House that's praying now, and somebody's in the White House. But listen. To get your eyes off of that, please, please understand. Do you know how fast political winds change? You start putting your hope in some president or some congressman or, oh, this guy, listen, I totally understand. I want to support people that have a bent towards being kind to the church. But at the end of the day, should somebody pull out a dagger and start jabbing it into you, we need to be, it's like the rapture. You need to pray as though you don't have to live through the tribulation. You know, you need to pray, oh God, I don't want to have to go through the tribulation, but you darn well be ready, be spiritually ready to go through the tribulation. Amen. Right? And this is the same thing on the political term, and I don't want to get into that right now. But it's a time of testing and sowing. This is where our mettle of the church is tested. It's where we get to show our true colors. The church is under attack in many ways. I have, listen, I checked the clock to make sure I have enough time to talk about this. Listen, the centrality of Jesus. We are here because of Jesus, right? Not because of any other reason. But because we are Jesus followers, that would be a Christ follower, that's why we're called Christians, then we adhere to some basic principles that he lays out in his word. So when I say, hey, if you love Jesus, you're a part of it, yes, that's true. But if your life or your lifestyle deviates from core principles of the Christian faith, you've got to be aware of the fact that that's not all good. Hey, it's all good. I love. Listen, there's a lot of people say, I love Jesus, but their lives just don't line up with that. And it's one thing to, oh, my gosh, I sinned, and I'm so sorry, and oh, God, help me never to do that again by the power of your spirit, versus I know it's wrong, but God's gracious, and I'm just going to keep on doing this because it feels good or whatever I want. Those are two different camps. I deal well with the camp that says it's all good, we can try, and we work hard, and you stumble and fall, but get back up again. God's on the throne. You know it's wrong, and you confess it's wrong, but you're believing God to help you. That's this camp. But this idea that, oh, I know it's wrong, but God's all good. It's all grace. And listen, you're in a dangerous, dangerous situation if that's where you're rolling with this, okay? So please hear me on that. So that's a time of testing. And secondly, it's a time of sowing. This is the time for the church to plant and invest. Into what? Into a revival, into the great harvest. So I'm hopeful, I'm expecting that those seasons will change soon for the church at large. And we see a mass revival again. And I plan on being on the front line when those things happen. And you should plan on being on the front line when those things happen too. The difficulty is that the enemy of any future revival are the revivalists from the past revival. Because the new revival, whatever that is going to be, does not look like it did when you saw it last. Why is that? Because he works in seasons. It's going to be different. It's going to look different. How about if there was a revival of just small connect groups? That all of a sudden now there was 100. I think we have 25, 30 that meet. Everybody's, I mean, everywhere. Imagine a revival of the church being the church 24 hours a day in the workplace everywhere they go, just loving people, being kind to people, and not living double standard lives. That'd be amazing. That'd be awesome. It wouldn't be 7 nights of extended meetings where, you know, people are on the floor and people fall out in this. People fall out. Yeah. Why do they do that? Because they can't stand up. So, I mean, there's different seasons, right? So whatever God is working right now, there's a plant. I don't know. It's an old story. You may be familiar. There's a plant that sits dormant in the ground for like 6 years, and on the 7th year, it grows like 100 feet in the ground. Have you ever heard that story? Yeah. It's an amazing, it's a true, true thing. So the question is, does that plant grow amazingly to 100 feet in the course of 4 weeks, or did it take 6 years and 4 weeks? It took 6 years and 4 weeks because there was a seed, something was happening to that seed for the 6 years that no one saw, right? So this is how God right now is working on whatever he's going to do. He's moving people. There's seasons in people's lives. There's things that are happening in the government, in the local level, in the church, in your heart. I'll tell you what, having lived through a season of revival, just because you're in a service that is experiencing revival doesn't mean you're going to have revival. It has everything to do with the posture, the attitude of your heart and your spirit when you walk through those doors. Some of you came today not expecting anything, and you'll leave with nothing because your expectation was so pathetically low when you came through the door. But if you came in today, man, it's good to be in the house of God. I'm ready to hear the word of the Lord, man. Come on, Jesus. I'm going to worship. You're going to leave with something because you came expecting something. How about the church began to lift its expectancy as to what God was going to do in the world today? Rather than it's all good or we got president or we get no, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, I almost started preaching there. Almost. So you waited now for personal application, because this is where the rubber meets the road for you. Okay, if you have not already thought about the seasons as we've gone through them, seasons of sowing and planting, season of reaping, if you haven't written these down yet, you should. Sowing of reaping and harvest. The season of trials and testing. Number 4, the season of rest and patience. And number 5, the season of fruitfulness and abundance. I'm going to pray right now for you. And I'm going to ask that while you just sit and meditate here for a moment, that God begins to reveal one of those, becomes illuminated in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. That's how God talks to us, between our ears, in our spirit. God says, this is this. He begins to show you that, and we enunciate it by saying, God showed me. And so you're going to see God is going to begin to reveal to you. If he hasn't, then yet, okay, we're going to pray. And we're just going to continue in our lives, but this is where we're going to start. Lord Jesus, right now, as we just quiet our hearts before you, Lord, the world is such a busy place. Got up, got in the shower, got in the car, drove here, hurry here, got to do this afternoon. Lord, we just quiet our heart right now. And Lord, we're talking about seasons, and I pray that as we move through these, and even now, Lord, you would begin to just illuminate and highlight the season that you have for each individual person in this room today. God, I know that you want to show them, and I pray that their hearts and their minds would be alert and attentive to what your spirit is saying. Lord, we ask for a prophetic anointing on our lives right now. You can just say, I receive it, real quietly there to you. I receive that, Lord. I want that anointing on my life so I can discern the times. I want to discern the season of my life so I'm not wearing the wrong clothes. So I'm not trying to paddle upstream. Is it the season of sowing for you? Is this the season of reaping? Ask the Lord. Open your prophetic eyes. This way you can work with the purposes of the Lord in your life. Hallelujah. Okay, now, you may or may not at this time have an idea of what season you're in. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to move quickly through these seasons. We have a few minutes. I'm going to move quickly through this season. I'm going to help you with some things that you can do if this is the season that you find yourself in. This is a great how-to sermon. I need to listen to this myself later. All right? Really. It just ministers to me so much as I think about the season of this church and my life and grandparents now and all this. And you know, you can have multiple seasons in different areas of your life too. Did you know this? Okay, so watch this. First of all, we're going to talk about the season of sowing and planting. What do we do? If you discern, I'm in the season of sowing. I'm in the season of planting. What do you do? Here's how you're going to sow. First of all, you're going to sow in prayer and study of the word. You may not see any practical byproduct of that. Well, I'm going to go preach. I'm going to pray towards it. No, you're just being consistent, sowing into the spiritual realm. If you're in a season of sowing, then sow in prayer and Bible study. Also, in giving and going. This is a season of sowing. Boom. You're giving consistently. What is that? It's so much easier to give when you're in the seasons of abundance, right? Huh? But when you're in a season of sowing, man, this is just a season we're in. We're going to be faithful. I'm going to give and I'm going to go. I'm going to give. I'm going to go because sowing, you sow of your life, like the team that just, the 28 people or whoever just got back from Guatemala. That was a season of sowing, okay? Worship, this is what you do in a season of sowing. You worship. You do not want that well to dry up. Hear me. If you let that well of worship dry up, it's a tough booger to redig. It really is. Tonight, we're having an extended time of worship. You know, I can't come. It's too long. Stay for coming long. No one's taking attendance. We don't notice, oh, they left early. No, come for as long as you can come. All right? So worship tonight, communion. Teaching others when you're in a season of sowing. You're teaching others, whether it's your children. Maybe you lead a connect group. Season of sowing. I'll tell you what's coming up in October. It's a long ways off right now, but we have another set of encounters that's coming up. If you've not been on Encounter, that is a season right there. How many been on Encounter would say amen? Amen. Yeah, that's a season that really generates something in your life, okay? All right, number two, the season of reaping and harvesting. The number one thing, if you're in a season of reaping and harvesting, the number one thing you need to have is a new wineskin. Because you're reaping, all of a sudden, the harvest begins to come in. If you don't have a container, the Bible says a wineskin, and if we put this new harvest in an old wineskin, so your mind, your spirit has to be ready to receive what's coming and in a manner that maybe not the way you did it 5 years ago or the way that you did it 10 years ago. You say, God, I sense now I'm going to see, how am I going to administrate? How am I going to steward? You know what a steward is, right? The guy on the ship. Remember Gopher on Love Boat? Boy, that's an old TV show. That's really bad. You know? The purser, the guy that just kind of carries your bags from point A to point B. They weren't gophers, right? They didn't belong to Gopher, but he moved them from point A to point B. This is what God gives. When you begin to reap in the season of reaping and harvest, God's giving you things so that you can move from here to there. And the new there may not be the there that was there 5 years ago. Don't make me say that again, because I don't think I can. Move it from here to there. 5 years ago, you moved it from here to there. God, in a new season with a new wineskin, maybe saying, from here to there. Got it? That's important when you're in a season of reaping to know the wineskin. And this is really, really important. 2 Kings 4:6. When all the jars were full, this is the prophet filling the ladies' jars with oil. You know the story? If not, check it out, 2 Kings. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Next sentence, then the oil stopped flowing. What does that mean? That means if you stop setting out a receptacle to put your harvest into, the harvest is going to stop. God says, you don't have a container to put that in. You're not putting that where I've asked you to put it. If you don't put it where God told you to put it, you've stopped setting out receptacles. This woman had no oil. The prophet said, set out jars. He didn't say how many jars. He said, set out the jars. And as soon as he set out the jar, the oil flowed, filled every one. Then she says, set out another jar. The son said, there's no more jars. Then the oil stopped. If you stop setting out in the time of harvest, you stop putting it where it's supposed to be put, God says, you got to dry it up. These are biblical principles that will help you. Number three, thirdly, the seasons of testing and trial. What you need to know about if you're in a season of just, oh man, I feel like I'm just being tested, I'm being tried. The number one thing you need to do is watch your words. Don't complain. You got to speak faith. You got to speak life and not death. And if you don't know where to turn, go to Deuteronomy 28. We don't have time to go there. You just read Deuteronomy 28. You're going to be blessed. I'll tell you, the blessing of the Lord is for you. When you press in for him, when you look for him, when you recognize I'm in a season of trial. Well, you know, she's not working out. You're one of those people who's always waiting for the other shoe to fall. Man, it's a great day, but, you know, it's only half done. Something really crappy is going to happen pretty soon. I just know it. You have that Eeyore mentality, you know, from Winnie the Pooh. Oh, woe is me. Right? You know those people. They're a black hole. They suck the life right out of you, don't they? Don't be that. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be that. You are an encourager. And that seed is in the ground for 6 or 7 years. Testing and trial. But something's happening in you in the middle of those tests, in the middle of those trials. God is still working on you. You better make sure what's coming out of your mouth is filled with faith, filled with hope, filled with praise, filled with worship. Right? Okay, wait. Well, what if it's the devil? Okay, listen. I got a really, really great little formula for you. I told you don't pay attention to people with formulas earlier, but this is a good formula. All right, so watch this. The devil is oppressing you, and he's testing you and trying. God has got you in a trial, and he's testing you. It may look the same to you, and you can't discern. Is this God testing me, or is this an attack of the devil? Right? What should you do in those circumstances? If you're under an attack of the enemy, and you're in that horrible situation, you should watch your mouth and praise and worship the Lord. You know what that does? That just gives the devil a black eye. He looks at you and goes, wait a second. I was just dumping all that stuff on you, and now you're praising God. What's wrong with you? I better go someplace else. Because I can't ding them. I can't get them down. They're going to praise the Lord continually. The praise the Lord will always be in their mouth. Right? Isn't that what Job did? I mean, he wanted to say something. His wife was, we got a problem. But he, praise God, hallelujah, decided he's going to praise. And Jonah, you know, he was in the belly of the whale, and he started out complaining. But then when he said, oh, I'm going to praise, nonetheless, I will praise the Lord. Boom, that's when the whale vomited him out. Because there's another way out of the whale. So you're under the oppression. There's this horrible thing happening. If it's the devil, if it's the enemy, praise God. Now, if it's a test or a trial of the Lord, what do you think you should do? Praise the Lord always. And then the Lord goes, well, look at that. Look at my boy. That's my old daughter. I love her so much. Look at that. She had a little adversity in her life, but she still loves me. It's not that the Lord has stopped loving you. He's trying to teach you something. There comes a time when you have to go back a time a ways. You didn't know how to tie your shoe, right? Mom and dad tied your shoe. Now you're a grown-up. Tie your shoe. Learn to do it. It seems to me, and this is an observation, it seems to me, you know, when you're first born again, when you're first saved, you're a baby, man. You're a baby. I love having those people pray for me. Because man's like, every prayer, boom, boom, boom. Remember when you first got saved, you're laying hands on your car, doesn't work. You're praying, oh, God, give me a front row parking spot at the mall. Hallelujah. And yeah, boom, there's a front row spot. Bam, bam, bam. Everything's happened. But then you're with the Lord a few years, and like, you're praying for a parking spot and goes, really? Really? That's what you're going to use your faith for today is a parking spot? And the jar dries up. Because you haven't grown up. See, I didn't expect a whole lot of amens on that one, but I think I did expect that maybe it sunk into a few. So when you know the Lord and you've known him for a while, God says, tie your own shoes. There's other things that you're supposed to be doing. Let's not. Okay, you got it. Don't make me do that again. I will do that again. All right, so that's the seasons of testing and trial. What are we going to do? We're going to speak blessings, right? Right. Remain steadfast. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres. Blessed is the man who what? Perseveres. Under what? Trials. Wait a second. Blessed? I'm blessed? Why? Because he sees you. Somebody comes and pushes you. You know, what happened? You change your stance. Because you're not pushing me again. I am. God's looking for some of you to change your stance. Every trial and every tribulation sets you back a month, sets you back five. But if you get a little bit of fight in you and say, I am so over this, whether it's from the devil or I am done with this. I was talking to somebody the other day and said, I wanted to learn this lesson. I was going through this trial or whatever, you know. And I said, yeah, man, because if you don't learn the lesson of that trial, you know what has to happen? You got to go around the mountain again. And I've spent too much time having to take a second, a third, a 99th lap around some mountains. Hey, am I talking your language? I'm tired of like, no, I want to know what I'm supposed to know so I don't have to waste another 3 weeks, 3 years, 30 years of my life. Because if you decide not to do what God has asked you to do, he'll let you wander in the desert for 40 years. But then when you decide to get serious with God, you know where he brings you? Right back there where you stopped obeying him. You're going to have to deal with that one way or the other. You don't get to bypass that. If there's a point of rebellion in your life and you're saying, God, and he goes, you know, this is what I've told you. This is what I've chosen for you. This is what I want you to do. And you decide to just go, you know, go off over here for a while and play. You can do that. You're a free moral agent. You can do whatever you want. God does not manipulate you like a marionette master. You can do whatever you want. But on that day, when you snot it up on an altar somewhere, and you say, oh, God, I run away, and I want to get in the spirit, he transports you right back to that moment when you said, no, I'm not going to do that. I know because I've lived it. I know that's what he does. Some of you right now are over there playing. And you're saying to yourself, I'm enjoying this of my life more than what it would cost me to deal with that point. And shame on you. Because we're talking about eternity. We're not talking about a little discomfort for a little time here on earth. We're talking about eternity. Okay? Wow. Okay, that was way too much on that, I think. But somebody needed to hear that. Okay, number four, the season of rest and patience. I'm learning this. You need to enjoy. Sometimes it's hard. I cannot rest. I'm not a very patient person. No. I wasn't looking for an affirmation right there on that one. We can talk later about that, babe. Here's what happens. Here's why. Because the busier we are, the less time we have to talk with Jesus. Busy people like myself. And sometimes I just like to be busy because I like to be busy. What happens is you begin to squeeze out things that need to be there. And time with Jesus is one of them. The busier you are, the less time you have to talk with Jesus. And then a few years ago, the Lord dropped this in my heart. We all know it. God rested on the seventh day. But then I realized it wasn't because he was tired. He just wanted to enjoy what he had made. I feel guilty taking a nap. I'm one of those people. I wish I was a child so I would get congratulated for taking a nap, a good long nap. Took a nap there. Oh, good for you, Eric. Good. You're still taking naps. That's wonderful. The Sabbath rest is a biblical term. The word Sabbath, Shabbat, in Hebrew, the word Sabbath means to cease and desist, to rest. God rested, not because he was tired, because he just wanted to enjoy his life. He wanted to enjoy what he had done. You know, I used to rest when I got tired. You know what they tell you to do when you're like out in the woods hiking? Or what do they say? Rest before you're tired, drink before you're thirsty. Aren't those the little the phrases? Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. We don't do a lot of hiking on the plains of Illinois, I know, but but you're supposed to drink before you're thirsty, because by the time you're thirsty, it's too late, right? So when you say, I need to rest, get this in your spirit. It's not because you're tired. It's just the season of rest. It's the day of rest. And here's the deal. God won't make you rest. Remember, the Sabbath, this day, the seventh day, was not made for man or for us to adhere to. Let me say it like this. Man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. So God says, oh, we better have a Sabbath so they can keep that rule. No, man was not created in order to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for us. There needs to be a season of rest in your life. If you don't have it, you're really hurting yourself. Lastly, the season of fruitfulness and abundance. Three things you got to do if you're in that season. What is this season? This is a season where everywhere you turn and you find $20. Everything you do turns up roses. I mean, you do something stupid and you still, all of a sudden it's like, man, this is not normal. I am like, people are showing up at my front door handing me $40 for a 30-minute conversation. All right? Boom. And I kind of wanted the ram to go away off the top of the mountain, but my wife's calling the ram up the mountain. Come on, baby. Come right here. Come right here. Anyway, so there is this season, and what do we do if we find ourselves like just being overtaken with the good things of God? All right, here's what you need to do. Number one, please remember this, remain humble and resist pride. That's number one. Because as soon as you start taking credit, oh, baby, why is that? Because he resists the pride, the prideful. So number one, you got to remain humble, which is resisting pride. Number two, you got to give glory to God. Oh, yes, I know. I'm just a genius. I know. Everything I do is just, I got the Midas touch. You got no touch. You got no touch. That's what you have. You're clumsy without God. Right? God is bringing you things that you have no way of even, but you start taking credit for that and then not giving God glory for that. And then the third thing you should do, number one is remain humble and resist pride. Number two, give glory to God. But if you're in this season, here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to sow wildly. Before you had a repository, before you make a deposit right there, that's the oil jar. That's during the season of sowing, of reaping. Boom. You know, God's just providing for you. But now you're in the season of abundance. Now what you're doing, now you're just not setting out clay pots. Man, you're setting out buckets. You're investing. You're sowing wild. You're putting some in, you want this to continue to flow so much. You're taking the caps off of water bottles. Yeah, anything that can hold the blessing of the Lord in your life, you begin to deposit stuff there. You start giving things to people. Well, it's not your tithe. It's not your offering. No, all of a sudden, it's like, man, those people really need a blank, and you give it to them. No strings attached. Please, when somebody gives you, oh, my gosh. I don't have time. So let me just say this. When somebody gives you something, or back it up. Let's turn it around. When you give something to someone, you better make sure every string is cut. Because they turn around and sell it the next day. Then you get your feelings hurt. You didn't really give it to them with no strings then, did you? So you just give them. You lend and you give and you just start blessing people, your kids, your parents, your grandparents. When you're in a season of that kind of overflow, not just your tithe and your offering to the Lord, but now you're sowing wildly. Those are great seasons to be in. I'm just telling you. But that's a season. Then all of a sudden it dries up. Oh, no, what did I do? I don't know what I did. You didn't do anything. God just moved you to another season. I have some new lessons for you. Because if that's all there was in your life, and all you had was summer, you know what people, This is hard to imagine. I'd like to try. The people live on like St. Croix, Virgin Islands, right? Wouldn't we all like to try that just maybe wildly for a year or two? But then you know you would miss. I know it's crazy. You would miss the seasons, wouldn't you? No, I want to try. No, you would. Honestly, you would begin to miss the sea. You would say, man, I just love that the October morning, that smell of, you know, the harvest, and now it's changing. And yeah, they don't have that there. They just have, like, paradise all the time. Right? But you'd like to try. We would like to try. But God says, no, there's seasons. Say seasons. All right, so here it is. The question is, what season are you in? If your season of planting, don't become weary in well-doing. For in due season, you will reap a harvest if you faint not. Are you in the season of reaping and harvest? Then you better find the new wineskin that you're supposed to be putting that in. Thirdly, the season of testing and trial. You got to watch your negative words. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your patience develops perseverance. Then there's a season of rest and patience. If you're in that season, it's hard for me. Be unashamed that you're resting. Just rest. It's God's appointed time. Because you know why? You may have to run a mile tomorrow in the spirit realm. There's a reason he has you in that season of resting, of reading the word and just being in his presence. Because you don't know it tomorrow, but he knows. And that's why he has you in a season of rest. And lastly, that season of fruitfulness, abundance. Remain humble and just begin to sow wildly. That honors the Lord. Close your eyes with me this morning, please. Bow your head. There's really two categories of people here this morning. First of all, those that have yet to really embrace who Jesus is. I'm telling you this morning, I'm speaking to you by internet, by podcast, by television, right here live in this auditorium this morning, that the ark is only open for a certain period of time because there's coming a great flood. And this season that you're in right now is talked about with every head bowed, every eye closed. It's talked about in 2 Corinthians 6. Let me read it to you. In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. And I tell you now, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the season. This is the season on God's calendar for your salvation. And if you're ready to make that commitment, say, yes, Lord, I want to live a prophetic life. I want to be in tune with the orchestra of heaven. Note, I'm not asking you to sing unison, to live your life unison. I'm asking you to be who God created you to be. Be in tune with him and live your life abundantly with him. If you want to do that, that's called getting saved. That's not a made-up word. Jesus talks about that. He told a very religious person that they had to be born again. So if that's what your desire is this morning, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let the Spirit of God speak to you right now. He's calling you. Of course, you also have an enemy, and he doesn't want you to raise your hand. He doesn't want you to make that commitment. But you have to decide, who will you serve? So if you're ready for the forgiveness that Jesus offers this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Just slip it up real high. Yeah. Perfect. Yes, hands all over the auditorium. You can put your hands down. What a great testimony to how God's moving in your heart and your life right now. I'm not saying being a Christian now for the rest of your life is going to be easy. You're still going to have trials, but God will be there with you to show you and lead you. So, Father, for these that had their hand up this morning, I pray right now, would all of you just repeat after me, dear Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. and give me a new heart. Amen.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.